RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
All right, Tuesday morning. It means Tech Tuesday here on RCR. Time to welcome in Stephen.
Good morning, Paul.
Hang on a minute. You're not Stephen. Where's Stephen?
You remember me, don't you? I am Kit.
Ah, yeah, Kit. All right, I do remember you well, Kit. I'm a little surprised, though, because where's Stephen?
Oh, I'm sorry. Where are my manners? He's running a bit late, and he'll be here in just a jiffy.
A jiffy?
But you know, Paul, since this is the 50th episode of Tech Tuesday...
Oh, 50th,
I thought
that's why you...
Maybe, you know, it could be a special show by featuring me.
Oh, you just thought you'd just feature yourself. Okay. Not a bad idea, though. Give you that. But here, I'll do a deal with you. I'll let you pick a song to close off today's show if you could get Stephen for me, okay?
Sounds like a deal to me. I have chosen an appropriate song based on Stephen's preferences.
Appropriate. Okay.
Paul, you must remember that as a computer, I can make such a choice pretty quickly. I mean, for every second a human takes to decide something, I could have counted to infinity twice.
Duh. You can count to... Oh, never mind. It would take us forever. Is Stephen there?
Present. Yeah, sorry, bit late. Had to do stuff. Lost track of time.
You were hijacked.
Could have been. But I'm here now. Did I miss very much?
I was beginning to think, Stephen, that you weren't going to show and you just, like, got Kit to do it instead, you know, last minute kind of dropping. So that did surprise me a bit, I'd have to say.
Yeah. Mm. Well, all good now.
So you are aware, Stephen, that Kit just stepped in for you. You knew that had happened?
Yeah, it's good having someone to watch your back for you in times like this when you're finishing off a Guinness or something.
Yeah, well, that's something that Kit can't do. He can't indulge in maybe a virtual Guinness. So while you're here, Kit, how about you tell us about yourself? And you should be able to think of that real quick, you know, being that computer brain. We know of you, but not much about you.
Why? Thank you, Paul. Well, as you know, my name is Kit, and that stands for the Knight Industries 2000. Underneath, I am based on a third-generation Pontiac Trans Am.
Third generation.
My power plant is a Chevy V8 engine, which Stephen meticulously modified and built. It looks stock on the outside, but inside it looks very different. I have an aftermarket camshaft, larger fuel injectors, an increased fuel compression ratio, and larger intake and exhaust valves.
Ooh.
And that's for starters.
Impressive.
My engine management computer system has been modified, so the performance parts can be taken advantage of.
Well, that is impressive, Kit. How about everything else, the extra electronics that makes you, Kit, your brain?
My interior is faithful to the electronics that were seen in season 3 and 4 of Knight Rider, and everything is functional.
Good.
My primary computer is a Raspberry Pi 4, and naturally, I run on the Linux operating system.
Never heard of the Pi 4.
I have Arduino-based microcontrollers, too, with code Stephen has written. And finally, the red sweeping light you see at the front is known as the scanner.
Yep.
Stephen custom-built mine, and by using RGB LEDs, it is capable of 16.7 million colors.
Impressive. Don't wear yourself out, Kit. But thank you. That was very informative. Anything else?
I have a joke I would like to tell. It's a bit geeky and probably one not everyone will get. But it's one of my favorites. Here goes.
Mm-hmm.
A Windows user, a Linux user, and an Apple user all need to change a light bulb in their respective homes.
Mm-hmm.
They split up,
right,
and the Windows and Apple user meet back up 5 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
The Windows user asks the Apple user, "Did you get it fixed?"
Right.
"No, it can't be changed, so I need to find a new house. How about you?" "Yeah, I changed it, but now the toilet won't flush."
Oh.
After some time, the two become worried because the Linux user hasn't come back yet.
Where's he gone?
They go to his apartment and find him sitting in the middle of the floor with a set of instructions and a box of parts.
Yep.
The Windows user asks what he's doing, to which he replies, "What does it look like?" this light bulb isn't going to build itself. Oh my goodness, that is hilarious. I could die laughing from that joke.
Don't die.
But here's another one. How do you get Pikachu on a train?
I don't know, kid. How do you get Pikachu on a train?
You poke him on. Get it?
Yeah, I get it. Of course I get it. I can see where your terrible sense of humor comes from. I'm thinking of a particular person. It's from you, Stephen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you program as humor?
Can you call it humor?
Well, actually, that wasn't too bad. It was just told in a very dry way.
Oh, he's a bit like that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But there must be good company while you're driving.
Yes.
But how many jokes in the database?
That one's at the top, I think.
Yeah. Okay, after that rather unusual intro, let's say, unexpected intro, Stephen, you're with us now, aren't you? You've firmly planted.
I think I'm fully coherent even as well.
Okay, well, all good. Here we are on Tech Tuesday. It's our 50th program.
It is indeed.
Boy, that went quick.
Very quick. In fact, it was just the other day that someone was asking me about the date that I read out the cage, and I thought, oh, that wasn't that long ago, and I checked that was actually the 18th of June. I thought, oh, that's 2 months ago.
That's flown. Gee.
It sure has.
When you're having fun, and we are.
Yeah.
Okay, so happy 50th to you.
And to you.
And thank you, and well done. So let's get into the news. What's been happening in the tech world news-wise?
Well, Kit had a story about that, actually, and I thought he might want to introduce that. So, Kit, you had something in mind about what the Japanese are doing with AI to encourage smiling?
Yes, Paul. It's very odd. Japanese supermarket chain Aeon has adopted artificial intelligence to assess and standardize the smiles of its employees. This has renewed the debate about workplace harassment. This system is used across its 240 shops around Japan, and they called it Mr. Smile.
Mr. Smile.
The system analyses more than 450 elements, including facial expressions, voice volume, and tone of greetings. It has been designed with game elements that encourage staff to improve their attitude by challenging their scores with one another. Before it was introduced on July 1st, they said that it ran a trial in 8 of their stores with about 3,400 staff members, and they said service attitude improved by up to 1.6 times over a period of 3 months. Some say that this AI system is actually a form of workplace harassment.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, as a machine, I find this kind of treatment of people to be inexcusable. I mean, smiles should be a beautiful, heartfelt thing, and not a synthetic product that is being scrutinized and judged by an algorithm.
That's very deep, Kit. Very deep. Yeah. Wow, Stephen. I'm impressed. A very philosophical kind of comment there. This is smile recognition technology.
Yeah. So as Kit was, you know, reading that out, I was kind of thinking, think our employees could do with an attitude adjustment. Let's get an algorithm to do it for us.
Because we could put one in an RCR.
Yeah.
Everyone's smiling, though, already, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, make sure your McLeans are showing.
Well, there's an old line. I love that fluoride that I can see on your teeth. Anyway.
Yes, it glows in the dark. It's almost fluorescent. But
it's like my IQ is dropping every time I brush my teeth, you know.
Yes, but this kind of system is yet another way where we're being scrutinized and analyzed and judged. I mean, in Japan, customer harassment is a bit of an issue, but when you're doing something like this, this is just feels so ethically wrong on so many levels.
But it's forced, that's why.
Yeah, it is. And Aeon's not the only company to do this, because even McDonald's Japan is doing something like this as well. And, I mean, you know what the Japanese can be like with innovating stuff, and then there'll be somebody else thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. Let's big borrow, steal that technology. And before you know, it goes everywhere. And
then next thing you know, you're in the boss's office. You only smiled, you know, like 3.2% of interactions. This is way below the benchmark figure of whatever. You can just imagine it. No raise.
Company policy says that you must be smiling on average more than five times a minute or whatever.
And at McDonald's Japan, you didn't smile when serving Happy Meal.
That's because there was a part missing. I was unhappy about it.
I've noticed, as I've been holding on some of the phone systems, sorting out things, you know, because I've moved, that the recorded message comes in every now and then and says something along the lines of, please treat our staff with kindness. We're a kindness organization, and our staff are humans too. And I think that's code for they get bollocked a lot.
Yes, although if someone says something like that to me, you know, treat our staff with kindness, my response would be, is it Jacinda Ardern kindness or actual kindness?
Or Niccolo Cruel to be Kind kindness.
Oh, yes, there's that flavour too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh, you're giving me PTSD mentioning, you know, who.
Yeah, I did. Sorry. Bad.
Terrible cringe. That would be a great torture method. It's like, if you don't give us the information, we will play continuous Jacinda Ardern to you. No, please, please, I'll tell you anything.
I'll make my Happy Meal happy.
You must smile when serving Happy Meal.
I'll squirt a happy face with tomato sauce on the top of the bun.
Japan has been in the news quite a bit lately for tech innovations. Last week we had the 500-kilometer-long conveyor belt.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Be good to go for a ride on that, wouldn't it? Just sort of jump on.
I've been in Shinkansen many times, and it's quieter than being inside an aircraft flying at, you know, 30,000 feet. It's so much quieter.
Just lie back on the conveyor belt, and 500 Ks later. What else is in the news, Stephen?
Well, the Taiwanese have free public Wi-Fi. This is not a new thing, actually, to be honest. It was sort of introduced in 2011, but they are giving all their citizens plus tourists free wireless access around the country.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, sort of. There's a whole bunch of interesting FAQs on the Taiwanese government website, and they say that, you know, with respect to how much bandwidth do you get, on average it's about 8 megabits per second, which isn't quick, but it's available. And interestingly, in their FAQ, there is a question that says, is the electromagnetic radiation from Wi-Fi service very strong? Is it hazardous to public health? And they answer this by saying, citizens can enjoy wireless broadband networking by connecting to a Wi-Fi access point. However, the effect of electromagnetic fields on human health is a public concern. And then they go on to talk about numbers and the EPA.
But they're actually mentioning it.
They're actually mentioning it. They finish off, according to them, that according to the conclusions of the electromagnetic fields and public health, base stations and wireless technologies, according to the WHO in May 2006, quote unquote, there is no convincing scientific evidence that the weak RF signals from wireless networks can cause adverse health effects, which is weird because they have put, I don't know if they worded it as EMF or Wi-Fi in particular, as a class B probable carcinogen, and there are many people who want to get that upgraded to actual carcinogen.
Ah, okay. Well, would that be A?
Yeah, yeah. Not probable, it's actual.
I was also thinking, if you're using that countrywide free Wi-Fi, does that mean taking data and metadata and all of that?
Yep, and you know what else? Because more and more as cars become less of a car and more of a computer with wheels that you sit inside of, and of course they're all have a variety of connectivity on them, then vehicles will end up getting shipped with the ability to connect to this kind of Wi-Fi.
By default.
By default. Yep.
Yep.
And you've got a lean, mean spying machine on wheels.
We know what they're up to.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, at the moment, it kind of relies on people hotspotting their phone to their car, which is not a good thing. But, hey, when there's a system such as this in Taiwan, and potentially in the fullness of time, it will spread to other countries as it gets cheaper and things like that.
Well, it's free.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you do the Starlink thing from your car?
I don't know. Probably not, because I think you need,
You need a dish or a receptor or something.
Effectively, all you'd really need is a power supply for the thing, and you could attach it to your roof of your vehicle.
Yeah. Okay. Not that I'm going to do that. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay. What else has been happening?
Well, we did have a couple of items of feedback from people.
What are they asking?
Annie has suggested that for our 50th, perhaps we could have gone and talked about the 50 important issues that have been discussed.
Okay, well, that would take a bit of mining back in our fossil record. Who's got the time? But maybe we could do that on the 100th. That's double the job.
Yes, it'll be the top 100. Top 100 items in 30 minutes and go.
By the end of it, everyone's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, whatever. What was number one again?
I'm trying to think of the thing that jumped out at me most. Actually, the high point was the cage.
Right.
Got to say. Yeah. Because that brought everything together.
Yes.
You know, and I thought that was a really cool thing you did there. So that was the high point.
Okay. Oh, that's number one for the top 50 then.
Yeah, and probably top 100, unless you can top that.
Oh, I don't know. My beer, perhaps.
Okay, hold your Guinness. Okay, so thanks for that one. Who else have we heard from?
Donna confirms that the name of the Howard Hughes plane was the Spruce Goose because it was made of wood.
Actually, I've been in the Spruce Goose.
You have?
Yeah, when it was right next to the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California, a while back. It is huge. It's massive. Right. I think they have 6 or 8 engines. I think it had 8 engines. And the control cabin is like the bridge of a ship. And it only flew once. I think it got 30 feet in the air or something. It was pitched to the U.S. military as a, large capacity freighter. But they stuck with the land planes for that. It's been moved since to the Evergreen Museum in Oregon, actually, where it's on display again. But I thought in that... those comms last program that we were talking about the Hughes Racer, which
right,
was
okay.
The, you know, that overpowered, you know, just on turbo machine, which he crashed. But yeah, the Spruce Goose, incredible aircraft, and it was made of wood. Yeah.
Mm. Must have been heavy, though.
Yeah, a huge wing, massive wing on the thing, bigger than 747. Howard Hughes is just such a fascinating person, he got an idea and he just did it. Didn't matter. He just did it. And the Spruce Goose is an example. All that and just one flight. And then it was like, oh, well, So thank you for that, Donna.
Thank you. And there's one other item asking about CBDCs, but I'd like to address it next time. Because speaking of interesting people, today for Women in Tech, I'd like to talk about Margaret Hamilton. She was born on 17th of August, 1936.
I was going to say.
She's recently turned 88.
Oh, she's still alive.
She was known.
She's still alive.
Yeah. Oh. She was she was a software engineer, and she was actually the first person to coin the terms. And in her own words, she says that, "I began to use the term software engineering to distinguish it from hardware and other kinds of engineering, yet treat each type of engineering as part of the overall systems engineering process." And for a couple of years, from 61 to 63, she developed software for the SAGE project, which was the semi-automatic ground environment, which was used by the United States Air Force to search for possibly unfriendly aircraft. She also wrote software for a satellite tracking project and worked on a system to predict weather systems and track their movements using simulators. And then that later got used and developed further for the military as anti-aircraft air defense. And one of the projects she was given at one point was to fix code for that, and it had comments in it by the original author in Latin and Greek. And she was the first person to get it work.
Okay.
And this leaned her in good stead because in 1965 she learned of the Apollo project and she wanted to get involved into it. And she called it very exciting. So she developed the Apollo guidance computer for the Lunar Exploration Program. Yep. And later on she became the director of the Software Engineering Division. And in that role, she was responsible for the team writing and testing all of the onboard flight software for the Apollo spacecraft command and the lunar modules.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
She's quite remarkable. And there was the situation whereby the landing almost was aborted. And what kind of happened was the computer system at the time could only handle 7 simultaneous requests, and Buzz Aldrin gave it an 8th one, and then the computer went, okay, you've basically given me too much to do, so I'm going to just focus on the important stuff. And to use Margaret Hamilton's own words, Margaret Hamilton later on writing about this in 1971, she said that the computer, or rather the software in it, was smart enough to recognize that it had been asked to perform more tasks than it should be performing. It then sent out an alarm, which meant to the astronaut, I'm overloaded with more tasks than I should be doing at this time, and I'm going to keep only the more important tasks, i.e. the ones needed for landing. Actually, the computer was programmed to do more than the recognized error conditions. A complete set of recovery programs was incorporated into the software. The software's action in this case was to eliminate lower priority tasks and re-establish the more important ones. If the computer hadn't recognized this problem and taken recovery action, I doubt if Apollo 11 would have been the successful moon landing it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, Paul Curto, who was a senior technologist, he nominated Margaret Hamilton for a NASA Space Act Award, called Hamilton's work, quote unquote, the foundation for ultra reliable software design, which is quite handy when you're trying to land on the moon, I guess.
Yeah, I think the error code was 1202 or 1201. And I remember, you know, if you listen to the voice recording of their descent, you can hear, I think it's Buzz Aldrin, say, we got a 1202 code error here. And back down at Houston, they kind of scramble to look it up to see if they can still go. And Charlie Duke is the Capcom guy. And there's that famous line where he says, or maybe that was when they arrived with 30 seconds fuel, which was very soon after that. He says, yeah, we can breathe again down here. You got us breathing again.
Yeah.
Quite dramatic. Yeah. And also that computer, I remember seeing a doco on it. It was hardwired. There were no chips. You know, it was just wiring looms plugged into different parts of the thing rather than going through any sort of process, obviously transistors in there. So nothing like today's computers, nothing.
No. And there's quite an infamous photograph of her with the code that was running the whole system printed out on paper.
I've seen that, yeah.
And it goes, it's the stack of paper is as tall as she is.
I know, yeah, one of those sort of matrix printers or whatever, or telex-type printers.
Matrix. Yeah, dot matrix, or maybe the teletype or the chain type printer. I'm not sure what being produced on, but
it was incredible. It was an incredible achievement, that, you know, and to have it so robust to go through that emergency, it was really incredible.
In 2017, a woman of NASA Lego set went on sale, and she was included in the Lego set. And then In 2019, to celebrate 50 years after the Apollo landing, Google decided to make a tribute to her, and the mirrors at the Ivampa solar power facility were configured to create a picture of Hamilton by, or and the Apollo 11 by moonlight.
Wow. I wonder how she was treated by her colleagues, being one of, well, there wouldn't have been too many women in that program, I'm picking.
But she was the first person to be hired as a programmer on the project. And she just happened to be a woman as well.
Yeah. So meritocracy, even then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Have you got anything more information on her? Who did we have last week? The woman who...
Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi Bluetooth kind of conceiver, or the method of it anyway.
Yes. Yeah, that was her.
All right. Well, that's another interesting story in women in tech. I think this is a great thing to do, Stephen, and more than just two, right? There'll be more.
Oh, yes. I have some others who I think definitely need to have their light shown again.
You'd have to be smart to be able to have any chance with a woman like that, wouldn't you?
Well, she had two marriages.
Okay. All right. I wonder if she married up or down. Hard to know. And anyway.
That is hard to know.
Who cares anyway? Okay, well, there goes another Tech Tuesday. That was interesting. We're going to wind up now, and I'm just is Kit lurking anywhere? Because we're out of time for today. Kit, are you there? Thank you for being part of the show. I think you said you wanted to pick a song to close off. Just give me a few seconds here, Kit, because I'm going to have to pull it out of the file folder. So what do you want to hear?
Oh, yes. Thank you for remembering Paul and for having me on your show.
Anytime.
Stephen, I hope you don't mind, but Paul said I could pick a song. Well, I've picked No Time for Toxic People by Imagine Dragons.
The way they look at me, I know exactly what they talk about when I'm not around. Got no time for that. As a matter of fact, every day's my birthday.
Oh, are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.